Hi, this is Tyson Brown with NSTA Press. This marks our third installment of NSTA Press Behind the Books. Today I'm talking with Bill Robertson, author of Stop Faking It, Finally Understanding Science So You Can Teach It, Math. Bill, welcome.
Thanks, Tyson. It's good to be here.
Bill, why do you think there is such a need for this sort of book?
Kind of the rationale for this book started a long time ago when I was teaching college physics, and I would get students in the physics class, you know, often very bright students, you know, physics majors, and we would be doing some kind of math procedure, and I'd stop them and I'd say, you know, why is the length times the width? Why does that give you the area of this rectangle?
Mm-hmm.
Most of them didn't really understand. They had no idea. And that was kind of my first clue that students were doing the rules of math without really understanding the reasoning behind the rules.
Mm-hmm.
And then later on, in observing, when I started writing curriculum, I observed a lot of elementary and middle school classrooms, and I saw a lot of teachers doing things step by step. For instance, if you're adding fractions, there are certain procedures. You do this, you do this, you do this, and you do this. And there was no discussion of the reasoning as to why is this the appropriate step to do. I wanted to help teachers have a tool that will help them understand these things at a deep level.
This is your first foray outside of Earth and Physical Sciences, which you explore in the other Stop Faking It titles. Why math, and why now?
We always wanted to do a math book. The plan was, when I started writing these books, that we would do a math book eventually. So finally we got to do it.
Many of the math rules you discuss in the book, you've already characterized as having sort of a rote use. Often the user doesn't understand why they're doing what they're doing. Why would it matter in a science class?
You know, first of all, there's nothing wrong with memorization and rote use. I mean, if you don't know your multiplication tables, you're going to be in trouble in trying to understand higher level concepts. So memorization in and of itself is not a bad thing. But the reason that you need a little deeper understanding than that is that sometimes very fundamental ideas can contribute to your understanding of higher level ideas. And for example, in physics, a lot of times you deal with the concept of surface area and how quantities spread out as they spread out from a point out into the universe. If you don't have a solid understanding of what surface area is, then you cannot understand those concepts. At an even more abstract level, some of the most basic, what you might think of as memorized procedures, get challenged in different kinds of theories. Understanding that, you better understand the old procedure, and you better understand it at a deep level rather than just superficially.
You employ the learning cycle method when tackling each concept, and I think that probably relates to what you were just talking about. Could you explain why it works so well?
You know, there's lots of cognitive science research that shows that when you do understand something at a deep level, that amounts to a rich set of connections between the concepts that you're studying and your experiences. And they've done a lot of things called expert-novice studies,
mm-hmm.
where they take people who are experts in the field and people who are brand new to the field, and they try and figure out, okay, what's the difference between these people? How does this expert organize his or her knowledge? How does the novice organize his or her knowledge? And it turns out that the experts have these rich connections.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so how this applies to the learning cycle. What the learning cycle does is provide a set of experiences where you can set up the learner and help the learner connect the ideas, the concepts to be learned, to these experiences. So you're helping them make those connections rather than just throwing out these kind of abstract ideas. And that's, you know, traditional teaching is that. You give an abstract lecture. You read a book that has abstract ideas. And if you don't help people make these connections, what they end up doing is, and we're back to memorizing, you tend to memorize those things rather than understand them by connecting them to other things.
How would you like teachers to use this book?
That's a great question, because there's sometimes a misunderstanding of how I would like people to use the book. A lot of times teachers think that these are books of activities and that they're supposed to use in the classroom. The reason that's such a common perception is that most of the resource books out there are exactly that. They are books of activities, all the science books, math books, and so that's what they're used to looking for. My books are not intended as that. Now, there are activities in there because I base it around the learning cycle, but the activities are there in order to help the teacher learn the concept.
Mm-hmm.
When you know a whole lot more than your students, it's fun. When you are trying to stay one step ahead of them, it's not very much fun.
Bill, thanks so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to talk to me today. For more information about Stop Faking It Math, including a sample chapter called Fractions and More Rules, go to www.nsta.org and click on the Science Store. This is Tyson Brown signing off from NSTA Press.